last year. But my parents had tested positive for COVID, and I was negative, living in the same house, still negative this whole time, but I didn't want to take the risk of exposing people, so Marcia made a way that we could do it virtually, so I still got to be here in a different way. My name is Lori DeVillies, and I've gotten to be a part of the work, the vital work that we do, actually since, goodness, over 30 years, I'll just put it that way. So I'm going to hopefully give out my age, doesn't matter. I'm getting closer to 60 now, but I don't feel it. My niece says I act younger than she does, and she's 21, so she sleeps much more than I do, but anyway. Just to go all the way back, I found the Lord Jesus Christ at the age of 6. And at a Good News Backyard Club. Anybody work with children in here at your church? Or yeah? Well, I applaud you. And the work that you do with children, God will use. And you never know which child God has assigned for specific work. I went to those Good News Backyard Clubs. They taught us songs in all different languages, teaching us to go and to be a missionary into all these other countries. And I kept going to those Good News Backyard Clubs, and at the age of 9, I committed my life to missions. I knew I wanted to be a missionary. I wanted to just give the Lord my life, and I started searching for my mission. As soon as I got old enough, I went to Mexico. You know, you go, missionaries go to other countries, in my mind, and that wasn't it. Graduated high school, went into college, prepared myself, double major, psychology, social work. I'm gonna work with people. And got a chance to go to Japan, spent the whole summer there, just going all over that country. So glad to get back to the United States. It is crowded over there. Got to go to Korea, got to go to Ukraine, got to go to Israel. Every single time, I'm like, God, where's my mission? That's not it. Started working with our local church in Evansville, Indiana, to start a pregnancy resource center in Evansville. I knew nothing about pregnancy centers at the time. And what do you know? Signed up to volunteer. I had graduated college working with two OB-GYN doctors. One of them is a family friend of ours. Anybody in the medical or know people in medical that do those, I appreciate them, but I cannot do that. He would call me in for exams, but the thing is, he would get excited. He would pull me in and show me under the microscope, look, these are sexually transmitted diseases. Look at them. And I'm like, I don't know how you do this every day. Signed up to volunteer to help this local center get started. It got started. They hired a director. I still hadn't been there, but I signed up. I hadn't gone to any trainings. Only time I could volunteer was Saturdays because I worked full time. Director calls me one day. Can I leave the key to the center with you so that you can open the center on Saturday? And I just share this as we go into how we refresh ourselves. My attitude was bad. I mean bad. I don't know anything about this. I haven't been trained. I don't know where for sure what to do. But if you're willing, available, and obedient, God will use you, even with a bad attitude. Well, you know, there'll be another trained volunteer there with you. Well, good, give her the key, because I don't want the key. Well, I can't get a hold of her. Okay, fine. Bad attitude. I go stomping up the stairs, and there's somebody there. Oh, are you the trained volunteer for the day? No, I'm here for a pregnancy test. No problem. My training, never let them see you sweat. No problem. Come on in. We got this. I've never done a pregnancy test in my life. We got this, but I can read instructions. Her test was negative, but that day, I'll never forget it, I found my mission. The work that we're in is a missionary outreach. It truly is. It's the largest missionary outreach our nation has today. And what you do is so vital, but taking care of ourselves, I've learned through the years. This is my life coach here, so I gotta be really good. Is so important, because the work that we do cannot be done in our own strength. God calls us to the work that we do that's far bigger than any one of us can do. It takes the body for us to come together and accomplish the work. So I'm going to share some things. I like this one. Working harder and faster, staying ahead of life, moving into the future at the speed of light. Does this describe your daily life? I know until, when did I get airy? Probably 2013. That explained my life. I would get up at 4 in the morning and I'd go till midnight. And there'd be not many breaks in between. And that's how I lived. That's just, never been married, didn't have a dog at the time, I could just go. And I did. Are you forgetting to take time for you and your family? There were times, my family's from Evansville, Indiana. I moved to Austin, Texas. I got an opportunity to work with a group that was starting to serve pregnancy centers for the state of Texas. This was back in 1997. And I moved and just hit the ground running. And I may not see my, there were years I just saw my family at Christmas. That was it. If so, you could be on the fast track to personal and spiritual inner exhaustion. And that is so true. Matthew 6:26 says, "Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they?" So observing, looking at ourselves, O'Neill, he wrote one of the articles that I read, says that to become a long-distance winner, the leader must make a commitment to a process of self-examination, which will lead to renewal. And I have learned this. I am constantly looking at myself. Am I where God wants? I am asking the question, God, am I where you want me to be? Am I doing what you want me to do? Am I spending time with the people you want me to spend time with? And that's truly committing everything to Him. Before I go and do even for a day, Lord, is this what you want on the schedule? That's where I've gotten to for now, where I am now. To maintain this renewal, leaders must practice self-observation to use time effectively to rest and renew his or her spiritual and physical body. Flora Wilner, in her book, Feed My Shepherds, describes Sabbath moments as gazing at a sunbeam on the floor. I have learned to do that now. Looking at the leaves, my goodness, driving over here yesterday, the beauty of the colors. Where before I would have been so focused on what's next and what call do I need to make and who do I need to respond to, I would have missed all of that, but not now. We must take in those moments. Looking at a beloved painting, smelling a flower, touching a leaf, listening to a bird. I actually saw a bluebird fly across when I was driving the other day. I probably wouldn't have paid attention before. Very important. Stretching and breathing deeply, holding our hands under running water. Been doing that a lot lately. My hands are chapped now, but especially now. Just keeping quietly sensing God's breath upon and within us. And I love this scripture, Isaiah 58. True fasting. Now, I know they're different fasting, but to really pay attention to what Isaiah 58 is saying. Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice. Is that not what we're doing? When we bring truth and we go into whatever sphere of influence God opens, we're loosening those chains. I got to speak at two fundraisers this past week on Thursday night and Friday night. Smaller, in-home, major, major donors. And I believe even though they're, like I told my parents, cream of the crop, people who give to this work. When we were done, and I had shared a lot of my, and I've written a lot of my experiences so up to now, well, up to 2013 anyway, in my book that I wanted to give you as a gift. It truly is a book that is a brag book on God, because the things that have happened, only God could have done. There is no human explanation. But to share those things and to show people, we must step in. We must speak the truth. We must stand for those who can't stand for themselves and speak and be there. I had one guy at the end of Friday night come up to me and say, you know what? I had a really low opinion of social workers, but after tonight, you've raised that bar. Because people don't understand, and we're not a social, I told him, I shared with him, we may do a lot of similar social work stuff, but we are a missionary outreach because we share the good news of Jesus. That makes us a missionary outreach. But anyway, we loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke. to set the oppressed free and break every yoke. We have the opportunity, as those clients come in, to set them free. It's not us doing it, but it's sharing the good news of Jesus and speaking his name. Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them, or not to run away from your own flesh and blood? I shared that at the fundraisers. You want to know what a pregnancy resource center does? We live out Matthew 25. We meet the physical needs. Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? We provided groceries, especially these last 2 years for our clients. When did we see you thirsty and give you something to drink? We all provide the formula. When did we see you naked and clothe you? Our clothing boutiques take care of that. When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? We go to the hospitals and chaplains call with pregnant inmates. We go. Why? Because what you've done to the least of these, you've done to me. So very, very important. Then your light will break forth like the dawn and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. I had somebody tell me a couple weeks ago, you got to watch that person. They're going behind you. They're going and doing stuff. They're telling stuff about you. It's not true. And I said, you know what? I don't have to worry about that because God is my rear guard. Am I going to chase it down? No. Because if it ever comes to me, I speak truth. Saves us time. Then you will call and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help and he will say, here am I. Sabbath rest. Suddenly, in speaking about the rest that remains for the people of God, he uses a different word, sabbatismos, used only in the New Testament, meaning specifically a Sabbath rest. In the context of his teaching, this refers fundamentally to the Sabbath rest, which is found in Christ. Come, I give you rest. Thus, we are to strive to enter that rest. I wanted to bring this out because keeping the Sabbath, of course, is one of the Ten Commandments. It's very important. For me, a lot of Americans think the Sabbath is Sunday, right? I don't know about you, but a lot of times I work when I go to church. I may have a table up. People are always asking me questions. So I choose another day of the week for a Sabbath where I can really rest. I don't have to answer questions. I don't have to answer calls. I don't have to think. I can just rest. So it depends on what day of the week it is, but I'll declare this is our rest day. And I think it's real important that you choose a day, one day, throughout whatever, every week, that you rest, that you go outside, or that you do something you enjoy doing, or that you, whatever it is, that you refresh yourself. Very, very important to protect that day. This scripture I've applied as well. I'm going to rest in him every day. Every day. I don't know about you, but do things hit you all the time? Trying to get you to worry, trying to get you sidetracked, trying to get you off. You need to focus here, but now you got to focus here. That's where you capture it. You cast the care. I'm really learning that. With all the things God's allowing me to do now, I have to capture it and cast it to him and let him know, Lord, I trust you. And I'm going to rest in you. You show me what steps I need to take, or if I need to do anything, or do I just rest in you, and you take care of it? And he will. I've learned I can do far more if I'll do that than if I try and go fix everything. I've learned I can't fix everything. Overcommitting. I don't know about you, but I'm one of those. Oh, I'll do that, or I can take care of that. Happy to do that. But then now I'm learning, let me pray about that. Let me ask the Lord if that's what I should do. Because I want to be so strategic, especially in the days that we're in, that I'm totally in line with what he wants me to do. Because he'll do far more if I do that, I'm learning, than if I try to go do it all. To allow oneself to be carried away by a multitude of conflicting concerns, to surrender to too many demands, to commit oneself to too many projects, to want to help everyone and everything is to succumb to violence. That's what this definition is. It destroys the fruitfulness of our own work because it kills the root of inner wisdom, which makes work fruitful. And I think in our country, that's one that has been used to really keep us tired, keep us off, and keep us, many times, for me, I learned, ineffective. And so when I'm strategic now with where I go, like now, I'm already looking at the rest of the month. I've got some commitments, but is it where I really need to be? I'm asking the Lord. Or can that be done a different way and my time be used a different way? And so laying it before the Lord, He will order our steps if we'll take time to ask Him, where do you want me to be? Because God strategically places us and has people cross our paths that He wants us to talk to as well. I've learned that. And as we pull back and we lay everything before Him, He orders where we are to be. But He won't force that, so we have to lay it down at His feet to do that. And when we do, then He does order our steps. I think sometimes in our country, we've been taught we can't fail. We've got to succeed, we've got to be strong, we've got to everything win, and sometimes that doesn't happen. But the scripture, and when that happens, sometimes that fear comes, oh no, now I won't be accepted, or people won't look to me, or whatever it is. I think of that scripture, 2 Timothy 1:7. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and sound mind. And fear has been released all over the world now with all the changes that have happened in our world. And when we choose not to walk in fear, but we take the power and love and sound mind, it speaks to the world. People are drawn to that because there's so much fear. And when I'm not going to be moved, because I know where my foundation is, people are drawn to that. They want to know, how is it you're not affected by this? Because I know where my foundation is. The fear of failure and the need to get things done create this downward spiral of the spirit. To break this circle of violence, we must surrender not to the demands of life, but to the demands of self. And that really takes an inward observation of, who am I? Who did God design me to be? What is my assignment? And I think that's another thing that we're taught in our country, that we've got to be good at everything. And I've learned I don't. I can value the good in other people. And when we do, the body functions. That's how God designed it. He doesn't want me to be able to, like, we're getting ready to open a center in Evansville, Indiana now, where I've moved from Texas, still running the ministry in Texas and now in Indiana. And all these things in the remodel have to be done. Painting, flooring, electrical. I don't have to do it all, but appreciate the parts that can. And I think that's real important when we can let go, that we don't have to do it all. Reflecting on the fruits of the Spirit. You know, Galatians 5:22-23 tells us the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. And I check those things in myself. Am I walking in all of those fruits? If I get frustrated with someone and my thoughts are to tell them off, is that self-control? Is that walking in love? Is that bringing joy and kindness? If not, I take that thought captive, right? I cast it and bring myself into the fruits of the Spirit. So stepping back and reflecting, that's what I'm learning to do. So in every situation, what we're doing, we take a step back and we reflect. While at rest, when we're at rest, it allows us the opportunity to see things anew, which will increase our fruitfulness at work and at home. When I've learned I don't have to go fix that right away, and I take a step back and I bring it before the Lord and I rest, a lot of times after I've done that, it doesn't even have to be done when I think I've got to run, go do it. And I think that's what tries to keep us stirred up all the time, to keep us, many times for me, it was ineffective. I was not getting things done or working round the clock. Now I'm getting into my fun stories. God really taught me about rest when He brought a dog into my life. How many dog lovers in here? We got some dog lovers. Yay, good. Good, good, good. Two hands back there. That's great. I actually got to speak at this huge women's conference in Atlanta. Well, Marietta, right outside Atlanta, Georgia. And I said that. Any dog lovers? And I didn't know. Georgia Bulldogs. And they were like, what team are you for? I'm like, team? What? Dogs, dogs. D-O-G, dogs. Now, apparently they had a game that day too. So anyway, it was funny. This dog came, showed up, skinny, scrawny, living on the streets. And of course, I can't leave a dog skinny, scrawny, living on the streets. So we take this dog in. I did. And I thought, well, I'll find a home for it. I'll clean her up. I'll get her healthy, and I'll find a home. I drove her all the way to Indiana, living in Texas at the time, thinking my parents would want her. And they're like, we don't have time for a dog. What do you bring this dog here for? So we drive back to Texas, and I had her in the passenger seat, and I looked at her, and I said, if you're staying with me, you got to work. See, I was in that got to work all the time, got to work, got to work. And she just looked at me, and I know God was like, yeah, right. I'm going to use this dog to teach you. You can rest. And he did. He really taught me through her. Here's a picture of me rubbing her belly. And I'll never forget it. I was rubbing her belly praying because I was going to speak at a women's luncheon that afternoon. And I hadn't prepared. I hadn't had time, right? I was just going, going, going at this point in my life. And I'm just saying, God, what do you want me to share with these ladies? And it was so clear. I want you to share with the ladies to be like Ari. I named her Ariel, which is healing and new beginnings, what it means. That's what we gave her, but what God gave me through her as well. And I was like, tell the ladies to be like a dog. Help me understand more here. And he said, look at her. She's not worried about where she's going to eat. She's not worried about her schedule. She takes her time and enjoys what she's doing. Sometimes she'd be slow, and I'd be like, come on, Ari, let's go, let's go. I didn't even know how old she was. We didn't know. And he said, I want you to be like Ari. I want you to rest in me. Set those things aside and enjoy being with me. Here she is. That's how skinny she was. I don't know if I have any. When she got down the road a little bit, she put on some weight. understanding fatigue. Ari knew how to rest. Understand and get enough sleep. Fatigue can take its toll on you physically and spiritually. God has made us to need sleep. This time of sleep gives your mind, body, and spirit a chance to process the day and prepare for tomorrow. I have a dear, 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 dear friend who is now struggling with Alzheimer's. Not much older than me. And her daughter, I helped a lot with her daughter when she was growing up, has been doing a lot of research because she doesn't know if it's hereditary or not, and if her mom's got it and she's young, you know, what could happen. One thing the doctor pointed out, and I don't know, I don't think they know a whole lot about it yet, but is that he asked her, did your mom get enough sleep? The brain is required to rest. God designed us that way. And she wouldn't. She would stay up. Mirandy said, no, she would stay up all night. She might not lay down till 4 and get up at 6. And she just wouldn't let herself rest. And I don't know, because I haven't done any research on Alzheimer's. But it made sense to me because God has designed our bodies to rest. And when we don't allow ourselves to rest and our minds to rest, where you're not, you know, used to, I'd keep a pad of paper by my bed and I'd write it down. Used to, I had my office in my bedroom. This is how God's progressed me to. Only thing in my bedroom now is my dog and my bed. That's it. No TV, no computer, no pads to work. It's time to rest. And I actually had a doctor asking me some questions just 2 days ago. I've applied for life insurance, and now to do that, you have to get an exam. And so he said, well, how much sleep do you get? Like, you know, 6-7 hours? I'm like, well, let's see. These days, I'm getting about 10, actually. He's like, you sleep that whole time? Yeah, I do. I lay down about 8:30. I don't budge till about 6:30. But it's good to be able to refresh ourselves. And not all the time am I sleeping, but I'm laying there resting. And talking with the Lord and just spending time with Him. So, very important. Ari, I'll go back to her just a minute. I want to use my dogs because God has used them to teach me that it's okay to rest. It is time. We must take time to rest. Ari, in November of 2019, woke me up. She was not sick that I knew of, was on no medications, but woke me up about 5:30 that morning, and she wanted to walk. So I got up, we went for a walk, she pottied. We walked for an hour, got back, I was fixing the gate, and she always ran around the yard. We wanted to play when we got back, and when she ran around the yard that morning, she got by the tree and she collapsed. And by the time I got to her, there was just this little flutter, and then nothing. And I just stood there like, what just happened? But you know what God showed me, even in that, she died doing what she loved to do. And when we're in Him and we stay in the moment with Him, every moment we enjoy, even if it's a hard moment, we know He's got it. And we can just rest in that, knowing that I'll have to, that evening that she died, I was supposed to share with a group of University of Texas students. I didn't want to. I was upset. What happened? How am I going to learn anymore? Ari's gone. I actually took her to the vet. I asked the vet that morning, how old do you think she was? Because we had no idea. We found her. And she examined her, and she said, I'd say she's 15 or 16. And she said, Lori, honestly, she did you a favor. Because now's when they start to have problems and everything. But anyway, that evening, I called the student that was in charge of it. I said, is there any way we can change tonight? And she's like, oh, no, we've got a classroom. I mean, the lecture hall is packed. We're going to have so many students. I'm like, oh, God, okay. But that's when you enter into His rest, because I'm like, God, I can't do this. How many of you have ever felt that? You got to walk into a situation. You got to deal with something or a person. You're like, God, I can't do this. I do that a lot. But that night, I'm like, I can't. But you can, Lord, and I'm willing, available, and obedient. I'll do it. Took my box of books. Took my, put t-shirts in there. But I didn't know where I was going. University moves stuff all the time, so I'm trying to find it. I had gone into two buildings, and they weren't the right buildings. And when I'd ask somebody, they'd say, oh, yeah, you need to go down here and turn right and go down here. And I've got these boxes. I'm like, okay. And my heart's like, I don't want to be here. Okay, get back outside crying out to God. God, I can't do this. I don't want to do this. I'm going to go home and my dog is gone. That's how I felt. Finally, the last building I went into, and the guy's like, yeah, you're almost there. Just two more buildings down to the left. I go outside and I'm, God, can I just go back to the car? And this young man walks up and he says, do you know where you're going? I said, no, I don't. Somewhere down here to the left. He's like, you want me to carry your boxes and take you there? I'm like, would you please? And we're walking the whole way, and he's like, so what are you going to talk about tonight? And he's just talking to me on our way there. And he helps me kind of get out of that and get my spirits up a little bit. We get there. He sits everything down. I thank him. Then I go to find the one in charge to bring her over to meet him. I was so grateful, and he was gone. I'm telling you, God ministers to us. I truly believe that was a ministering angel. That God was like, I'm here. Rest in me. In every situation. And I was able to get through that night. And I could make it. I was like, okay, I'm going to go back on the road. I'm going to be all busy. I'm going to just do everything. And God's like, no. I don't want you to do that. Actually, I had a friend call me. Now, have you ever heard this? I don't know, are y'all familiar being with Missouri of the Billy Brim Prayer Ministries in Branson? She had just gotten back from Billy Brim, and she had heard that Ari died, and she called me, and she said, Lori, they had a speaker at Billy Brim's prayer gathering that had shared he had died and gone to heaven and come back. And what he shared at that time was he saw animals, dogs, and they talk. Just as they did before the fall. So when you see Ari, she'll be able to tell you all of her history. And that comforted me too. I don't know. I pray so. She can live in my mansion. That'd be fine. Anyway, I went about 3 weeks. And I didn't want to eat. Y'all have that grieving? Have you ever felt that where I didn't want to go home? I would go to meetings, but I'd go through the motions and just. And then I thought, the thought came, well, maybe I should get another dog. No. Then Raymond, my assistant in Austin, he said, well, if you get another dog, get a puppy so you can train it. Oh, yeah. Like, I have a lot of time. Well, that's what I ended up doing. So now I have Abby. And I share that to say, God continues to use this dog to keep me in that rest. And Abby, Ari brought this, breaking off this past stuff that I felt I had to do. Abby brings this fresh, it's a freshness of laughter. It's silly. It's fun. She's just a different phase that I believe I'm in rest. Have y'all noticed when you laugh, you feel refreshed? When it's something really funny, and Abby, she gets up on the couch and she's watching for that UPS driver. And we all laugh, because she's like, you know, just that growl. And just the things that dogs can bring for rest. Now, when the pandemic hit, everybody started homeschooling all their children. So the news reporters in Austin said, send in pictures of your kids being homeschooled, you know, so we can just have different kinds of news. So I took this picture and sent it in. It got on the news. Abby made the news. But again, bringing that lightheartedness, that Abby, she just, so Abigail means rejoicing and joy. And that's what I needed after Ari passed. And God has used her to bring that, and to my parents too. She's always wanting to play. And don't you think God wants us to be able just to enjoy and just be joyful and rest and laugh and play? I mean, I don't have a picture probably on here, but when she sleeps, she's all out sleep. I mean it. But when she's play, she's all out play. And I've just learned so much from her as well in that resting of just the joyfulness of enjoying life. Another way to refresh ourselves and take a break is through our relationships. During times of stress or suffering, it's important that you maintain productive relationships with family and friends. They can feed the soul like nothing else. God has made us to live together. We're not to be by ourselves. I've learned a lot from Terry on that. Boy, when I need to just let it out, I call her. We need someone we can call. We need someone. We need our inner circle. We need so to be able to rest and get it out. Y'all have that? You have that? You know, Jesus gave us that example. He had his inner three, then he had his outer 12, and then on. And we need that. We need to follow his example to be able to. Because a lot of times that wisdom and many advisors, when I talk with some like the other week, I had a question about an important project. I sought a friend of mine who's an attorney. I sought a friend of mine who's a CPA. I sought a friend of mine who's in insurance. I sought those wisdom in many advisors for the expertise so that we don't have to carry it all ourselves. And that helps me to rest as well. Speaking the truth in love, we must grow in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth in building itself up in love. In everything we do, staying in love. I've learned my middle name is Flo. And people are like, really, Flo? I'm like, yeah, F-L-O-W. I flow. And when I flow, then I don't get all worked up and I can stay in that rest. After I spoke Friday night, one gentleman came over and he said, I've got to remember to walk in that flow and that love. And for me, I shared with him, what I'm learning is this walk with Christ is never, it's constant. We're doing life, but as we do life, we're looking at what he wants done in that life. And I gave him an example. When I go to the grocery store, I'm looking, is there somebody who needs a word of hope while I'm here? That's just constantly being in him, that rest in him, and staying in love. Flow. F, we walk by faith. We get out of the boat. I shared with them, I was able to go to Israel. And I asked the Lord, well, two things. What was his heart? What is his heart on the life issue and on Israel? And when we went to the Mount of Beatitudes and they gave us the tour and then they said, take time, take 30 minutes and have a devotion. I went and had, I'm alone to have my devotion. And the Lord brought that up. You want to know my heart on life and Israel? Yes, Lord, I do. It's my covenant. God has a covenant with each one of us that he has made for life. There's a covenant. I read the Bible study by Kay Arthur, Our Covenant God, changed my life on that covenant that we have with him. If there is ever a wedding, y'all are invited, if I ever have one. And at my wedding, we'll figure out the pictures. Because usually you go to the wedding, I've been in so many weddings, and then you go and you wait while they do pictures and you watch the food, because I want to eat. Whenever they exchange that cake, that's Old Testament covenant. I didn't know that. Did y'all know that? They're becoming one flesh. And when they take the drink, Old Testament covenant, they're becoming one blood. I didn't know that. At my wedding, that will be explained before anybody gets any cake. And they won't have to wait. Somehow we'll figure it out. But that covenant, and when God made covenant with Abram to become Abraham, he took on part of his name. So when we marry and take on part of a name, that's covenant. I didn't know that. There's so many things I didn't know that I learned. When we were on the Sea of Galilee and we were on the boat, I could picture him stepping out of the boat onto the water. Can you imagine? But isn't that what God gives us opportunity to do all the time? But he doesn't expect us to carry it. All we do is we focus on him, and he carries it. But when we get off, start looking around at all the waves and the things, is when it gets heavy and tiresome and fatigue comes. We focus on him, the joy and the lightheartedness and the fun and the adventure comes. And that's where I want to stay. Faith. L, love. Staying in love. So, so, so important. And definitely stands out in the world that we're in today. I don't know about you, but any store I go to anymore, somebody's going off on somebody. I went in to return an item, and I got in line, and the guy started, hey, hey, you cut in line. Hey, hey, I was here first. I'm like, oh, excuse me. I'm not a line cutter. I'm happy to come over here. And because I didn't fight back and I gave that love answer, everybody was drawn. What? They were so sweet and started talking about the day. And before you know it, I had an opportunity to witness. I am so excited. Can I tell you what I'm bringing back today and what I need to get and what we're getting to do right here in this community? And I had a whole audience right there in the store. Walking in love. It speaks loudly. And doing those extra things, like holding the door. Oh, I'm in no hurry. You go ahead. Or somebody cut in line at me at the Dollar General store the other day, and the clerk was like, hey, she was here. I said, you know what? I'm in no hurry. It's okay. And I couldn't have done that a few years ago. And it spoke to him. He held the door for me as I was going out. It speaks. So love, staying in love. Oh, obedience. Like I said, my attitude has not always been bad, and I'm continually working on it. But if I follow the Lord and what does he want and stay in obedience, like in the, we were actually into a federal lawsuit we had to enter into in Austin, National Abortion Rights Action League. I know y'all know they don't like us. And they came to Austin to try to shut us down. And when they did, they partnered with the city of Austin. And they wrote an ordinance of services we don't do that they were forcing us to put on our door. We don't refer for abortion. We don't refer for contraception. They told us what size font and to put it in English and Spanish. Now, I don't know about y'all, but if for them to come, for any business, to force you to put a sign outside your business of services you don't do. The only way to stop it was to file a lawsuit. I didn't want to file a lawsuit. Our board has never made a decision unless we've had 100% unity. So we had three board meetings. We were getting ready for the third board meeting. And I was asking the Lord, what do we do? I knew it wouldn't be pretty. And he took me to Isaiah 10. Woe to those who make unjust laws and oppress the poor and the fatherless. Pretty clear. And then he took us took me to David and Goliath. I knew it would be a Goliath. But what I missed, because I'm like, I knew it wouldn't be pretty, was David ran quickly to the battle. And the Lord made it clear I was hesitating. And he made it clear if I wasn't willing to go, he would find someone else. And that would put me in disobedience. I don't want to ever be in disobedience, so I'm willing to go. It was a long, grueling deal, but I'm here to tell you we won after 4 years of battle, war, actually, to the point that Judge Lee Yackel ordered the city of Austin to pay all attorney fees, and we had seven attorneys, $1 million bill they had to pay to our attorneys. So as we rest in him, even in those grueling, hard times, he makes a way, and he refreshes us. Okay, and then the third one, W, wisdom. Seeking wisdom, godly wisdom, in every step that we take. Then we can walk in that rest that he gives. The value of rest and renewal to effectively move your organization to the 21st century is important to understand the value. When we rest, we are able to be joyfully productive. We talked about keeping the Sabbath, very, very important, and staying in peace. Since I've moved back, my parents have been married for 61 years, and I'm telling you, they go at each other. And I'm like, okay, peace. I say peace a lot. Peace, peace. I'm staying in peace. But you know what? That's so important. Do y'all ask the Lord for a word each year? Well, that's the word the Lord gave me. I didn't realize why. Because I'm going to be with my parents. But boy, I tell you, you say something about one of them, they're going to protect each other too. It's just like, man, I hope I'm going to learn something in these 61 years. But staying in the peace. It's hard to talk about spiritual refreshment without talking about peace. I'm telling you, it truly is. I mean, Terry can attest with the 20 plus years that she's known me. There have been times where I've been so uptight and so focused and so to the next thing. And now it's, oh yeah, I've got a workshop I need to get to. It's just so how he'll change us as we let him mold us into that rest. All things are possible. You know, I didn't see how it'd be possible to move from Texas to Indiana and still do the work that I totally love. But when I asked the Lord, he said, I will make a way where there seems to be no way. And not only has he made a way, he's made a way for us to enlarge our territory, and I still get to rest. And there's no explanation, but when we enter deep into his rest, how he then enables so much more as we do that with him. And I really believe it's because I spend so much more time with him, and my mind is so focused on him and everything, not in all these things that I was doing before, that it keeps me refreshed. And I'm refreshed when I dream. Y'all like to dream? A lot of visionaries in here? Where you just, Lord, what does this look like? Like for me, I've learned. With our staff in Austin, everything's going great. But I come in and I go, but is it possible to do that bigger? Could we move it here and reach more? And you can see in their eyes, what? You know, keeping our, so that we can see that bigger picture. Like in Evansville, we just signed a lease for this facility. It has 8 suites, and other suites are available. We took 2 of the 8 because that's where we can start. And I shared with the team, I see us taking all those suites. Really? What would we do with all those suites? Well, we could have a professional counselor here. We could do the medical stuff here. We could do the life skills here. And I'm filling it up, and they're like, wow. And wait till one day, because I said to the leasing agent, 1 year from today, this place will be full of people seeing the love of Jesus. And I can't wait to change the community that way. So the dreaming and the vision, we stay fresh. But if we're so into the details and always going, 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 we can't get into that freshness of the vision and the more of what God wants done. And I think it's important to meet with other leaders, like what you're doing in this conference. Coming and learning, that iron sharpening iron, learning from each other. Well, what do you do, and how does that work? And could I adapt this, or what I have, I'm happy to give to you. And God made us that way, so that we can sharpen each other. And younger leaders. I love being at the university. I love learning from young people. I believe there's an army of young people rising up that will take this and will end it, will bring abortion to be unthinkable. Margie's, she's got an army right within her house. One of her sons spoke at our banquet, and he was powerful, sharing his heart and what God has in him to do. And so when we've had young people volunteer, like for spring break or in the summer, I'll ask them, why would you give of your spring break to volunteer here? And without fail, what they'll say is, because I know I was considered to be aborted, or I had a sibling aborted, and I wanted to stop. So we totally remodeled our center based off of what young people said we needed. And it's worked to reach more young people. I like to hang out with business people, learning business practices and how to apply them to our center. And the time management. Again, I think it's important that we protect our time. One workshop I went to a couple years ago, the gal that was leading it said, get out your phones, pull up your calendar, put in whatever day you've got an opening, and then put your name there. And then if somebody says, hey, could you help me, or could you do this, or go there? No, I'm sorry, I have an appointment. There's nothing wrong with that. And I have learned to use that, and it has protected me. We must protect our time so that we can refresh ourselves to be able to go out and do what God has called us to do. For me, if I just get bogged down on something, I'll just go take a walk. Lord, I can't seem to make this flow. What is it I'm missing? And it's amazing how when you come back, it'll flow. Because he's not forcing himself on us, but he wants to participate, but he wants us to invite him to participate. Networking, Terry will tell you, Margie will tell you, I'm a big networker. And believe me, if I have something I can lend to what you're doing, I give it. Because I've learned you can't outgive God, and it's not about territory. It's about saving those lives. And if I have something I can give, what I've learned here is just, I keep trying to outgive God, and you just can't do it. I give, he gives back. I give, he gives back. You can't do it. Elohim. Over and over, God's word reminds us of God's strength, his might. The more we seek God, the more we come to personally know and experience his power. I want to be like David. I want to seek after God's heart. I say that every morning. God, I want to seek after you. I want to, anything else, I just want to seek you and be in your presence anywhere I go. And to see, I went with my mom to help her get a new bed at this furniture store. And before you know it, all these salespeople were over here in the bed section. As we were talking about all the good things of God. And even the people in the warehouse, they called them back. You know, whatever it takes to bring hope and to not be so, we got to get this bed and go because I've got my schedule. No, I'm going to set that aside because God is at work here. That's what makes the refreshing time. Fountains of living water, he says, he will bring as we lay our burdens down. And to avoid our burnout, there are so many that are not in the movement any longer. And it's sad. But we want to stay refreshed so we finish our race. And I want to hear, I don't know if you all know Mark Lowry, the Christian comedian. I heard him say one time, I want to hear him say, well done, not well. I want to hear well done, and I know you do too. So cast every care. Enjoy the day. Beautiful setting, beautiful people. Enjoy, and if you can give a word of hope or encouragement or just a hug or I love that you're here, that's building a culture of life. That's the way I see it. I can answer any questions. I think I'm not sure what.
We've got 20 minutes.
Ooh, we got 20 minutes. I thought I was going long. Any thoughts or questions? All dog lovers, surely we got some dog stories. What part are y'all from, Missouri? We have some Kansas people back here. Okay. All right. Anything else we need to cover? Yes, ma'am.
Well, I'm a cat lover, too.
Oh, cat lover. Okay. My niece is a cat lover.
Dog and cats.
Yeah.
Animals.
So, yeah. But aren't they amazing creatures? Just how God designed. Yeah.
I learn a lot of lessons from cats, too.
Yeah.
But dogs.
Yeah. They do. They do. Abby's just learned her voice. So she's learned with her high-pitched bark, we'll go play. And with her low-pitched bark, stay away. And she's learned if she keeps her high-pitched bark, we quit talking and go outside and play. So I'm going to have to train her a little bit there. But it's amazing. And just watching, some people have said it's dogs are God spelled backwards. Just their unconditional love and their attentiveness to our feelings. She really attends to my mom a lot. She knows when she's in pain, and she'll lay her head on my mom's lap and just look at her, and mom can pet her, and yeah, I could go on and on.
I don't get that from cats, but yeah. dogs, I really do.
Yeah, that's so true. And horses, I've learned with horses too. I haven't ever cared for horses. I've been around them a little bit, but yeah. Y'all gonna rest now today and tomorrow? You get some rest and enjoy it and not feel bad. You know, the enemy tries to come and make you feel bad that you're resting. You know, if you can do this, then more lives would be saved here. You do this. And I've thought that a lot. And then I've realized, wait a minute. I don't have to feel condemned, or I don't have to feel those. No, I'm going to stay in the joy and the peace and the love, because I know I cast that care on him. He cares. He knows. He knows I'm willing. So. Yeah, it's a good thing to rest in a lot of different ways. Physically resting, but spiritually resting and mentally resting. All of that's very important. And taking care of ourselves. I really learned, my mom's so funny. We went to a new doctor this past week. So are you on any medications? Just two. My daughter's got me on all these vitamins and supplements and Juice Plus and Zeal. And but you know what? She's turned her health around. So taking care of ourselves, feeding our bodies, just like we feed our souls, you know, it's very important.
So, Lori, having not read this yet, what would be a target person?
Pretty much anybody. What it is, it's just a faith book. A story about the lawsuits in there, a story about providing formula. We just started our center, and a client called and she said, hey, could you help me with formula? My baby's a week old and it's only had water the last 2 days. Mm-hmm. Absolutely, you come in. We had no formula, but I gathered our volunteers around and we prayed. You know this. Everything has to be bathed in prayer that we do, because it's so much bigger than what we can do. It's too heavy. If we can't, we've got to keep casting it on him. We prayed. My volunteers that were there love that part of the book, because they're like, I was there that day. We finished, and this van pulls up that says Travis County Health and Human Services. Well, that's the health department for Austin. And I'm like, oh, dear. You know, when the health department shows up, it's usually not good. So I go to the door to meet the lady, and she goes, are you Lori? I saw you out at one of the community meetings, and I got your brochure, and I just made it today. Do you need formula? She had a van full of formula. And the way that she got it is when a woman has her baby and the formula company sends her a sample, if she's moved or has a bad address, it gets returned. It was at the post office, and they had bins full of return mail formula. And she had gotten a call and didn't know what to do with it, but a friend of her worked at the post office. See how God worked? Mm-hmm. And in that, the loaves and the fishes. So I would say pretty much anybody, whether they believe or not, could... God could use it to speak to a heart.
So it's more on what God has done in your life.
Yeah.
More than the resting and the...
Right, right.
It's kind of different than what you're sharing.
Yeah. A little bit. But, yeah. Because it's just really miracles of things that have happened. My prayer is that it's just easy read, and that you'd not be able to put it down, and that you want to share it. And I'm in the sixth printing. 6,000 copies have gone out now. So.
So when's book number two coming?
Yeah, I know. I need to do two and three. Yeah. To work on that. Y'all are awesome, and I want to thank you for what you do. And I want to encourage you that we've already won.
Yes.
Because the war is already over. And as we see Roe overturned, and we will, that God will use us. He's positioning us now to be ready to see that happen. And I'm excited to see that, that we get to be the ones that they turn to. So keep going. Make sure you rest, though.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.